Unser nächster Interviewgast kommt aus Übersee, der Rabbi Arthur Schneier. Er hat 1965 die Appeal of Conscience Foundation gegründet, eine Stiftung, die sich dafür einsetzt, Leute zusammenzubringen, Menschen zusammenzubringen und sich für Respekt und Verständnis einsetzt. Und was er uns da mehr dazu erzählt, da sind wir sehr gespannt. Und wir begrüßen jetzt hier bei uns in der Weltfriedenswoche. Hello, Rabbi Schneier. Welcome to Radio Chico.
Well, glad to be with you.
Good morning, first of all. Could you give a quick introduction to your career and how you decided to become a rabbi?
I was born in Vienna in 1930. After the Anschluss, I was unerwünscht. I encountered as a child the labels Juden Hinde unerwünscht. I saw my synagogue burn in Kristallnacht on November 9 and 10. I had to flee Vienna, could not get to the United States, ended up in Hungary as an alien because my grandparents lived in Hungary. And my grandfather was a very prominent rabbi, Rabbi Bergman in Hungary. 1944, after the Germans occupied, he was one in the first transports to Auschwitz. I also, during the most horrendous times, in the end of 44, there was a Swiss consul general by the name of Karl Lutz, who, along with Raoul Wallenberg and the papal nuncio and the Portuguese and Spanish ambassador, issued some safety passes. I was a beneficiary of both Karl Lutz and the International Red Cross. And then I was liberated by the Red Army in January 1945, 18th. So I have an early Swiss connection, because really, if not for Karl Lutz, maybe I would have ended up like 1.5 million Jewish children destroyed. My other Swiss connection is that I'm blessed to have a beautiful Swiss wife, Elizabeth Nordman. I came to the United States in 1947, and when I discovered that my grandfather would never return, I made a promise, and I kept that promise, that regardless of what I do, I was going to be a psychiatrist, study medicine, but regardless of what I do, I will study for the rabbinate, be ordained, and that's exactly the what I pursued, a dual track. Biochemistry, psychology, science, and also for the rabbinate. And I was ordained in 1955. And I also made a promise that as long as in gratitude for having been saved, I will devote all my energies on a daily basis to make sure that no other people would have to endure the oppression and the suffering that I and my people had to. And then 65, at the height of the oppression of Soviet Jewry, the Soviet mission right across the street from Parkey Synagogue, I led the first demonstration on behalf of religious freedom in the Soviet Union, and an appeal of conscience. Appeal of conscience by Christians, Jews, Catholic, Protestants, Greek Orthodox. And that started, and the theme of the Appeal of Conscience Foundation is religious freedom, human rights, and hear the cry of the oppressed, wherever they are.
Yeah.
And That's my little background. And then I was privileged to serve as appointed by President Reagan as the alternate representative of the United States to the United Nations. I was the founder of the United Nations Alliance of Civilizations, to this day very active in the United Nations. And again, having kept my promise every day to make sure that wherever people are oppressed, their cry has to be heard and not to be silent.
You write on your website, you want to uphold the principle of live and let live. It sounds so easy, but obviously it isn't. Why do you think that is, with all the experience that you've had in the past?
Live and let live, because I think that we go back to biblical times, you know, where you had conflicts, even between brothers and sisters. Live and let live can only be achieved when you accept the other as another of God's children. That's the basic. If you denigrate the other, then it doesn't work. And also, live and let live, now that we've seen during the pandemic, is a very cardinal principle of survival, because we are interconnected. We are responsible for one another. We're not isolated, particularly now with the technological age and the virus that has claimed millions of human beings. The necessity to live and let live. Unfortunately, even at this particular time, when we've made tremendous progress with vaccines, you still find that the virus of hatred, of enmity, of discord, is still very much prevalent. Whether it's anti-Semitism, whether it's racism, whether it's bigotry, unfortunately, that virus has not been overcome yet.
Where is your main focus in today's work of your foundation?
At this particular time, we were very much involved in helping bring to an end the worst conflict in Europe, former Yugoslavia, and we wanted to make sure that an ethnic conflict should not become a religious conflict. Again, I use Switzerland, Bern, Zurich, for the first meeting of the Catholic leader of Croatia, from Zagreb, Cardinal Kuharic, the Muslim leader from Sarajevo, the coming together, and of course, Patriarch Pavle, the Serbian. And we met in Switzerland on neutral ground, and we issued a declaration. We are going to work for peace, and we're not going to permit that a conflict should become a religious conflict, because that is the worst of all. And what we need to work today, whether it's terrorism, is the misuse and abuse of religion. And thank God we have come a long way in terms of interfaith cooperation. I'm privileged Pope Francis knighted me as a Knight of St. Sylvester. At this particular time, we have focused on Nagorno-Karabakh, the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan, and we're currently not only pushed for the ceasefire by the religious leaders, but also we're working now to get some of the prisoners released who have been held since the war that started a year ago. So and also our major undertaking is education of our younger generations, who should be taught how to love and not how to hate. As a child, I experienced hatred overnight by my little fellow Austrian classmates. They were taught to stay away from this Jewish boy. They were taught how to hate. So that's exactly a great challenge. Education. And so we have a campaign already through the various churches and schools of respect the other, mutual acceptance and respect the other.
Do you have?
By the way,
yes.
I want you to know that this approach has really been tempted by my response to one word that has been frequently used: tolerance. And I don't like the word tolerance. And every year, International Holocaust Remembrance Day on January 27, I have the Secretary General and the diplomatic corps, of course, including the Swiss, at the Parki Synagogue, at my synagogue, remembering not only those who perished, but remembering the liberators, and also remembering diplomats who risked their career to save human lives, and there were many. In fact, Karl Lutz for a long time was not recognized, and I argued with Farmer Coty here as a hero, and I'm glad to see that that happened finally. So I also convinced my friend Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General. He will not use the term tolerance. Why? If you tolerate someone, then you are superior, and the minority is inferior. I don't want to be a second-class citizen. I want to be mutually respected and accepted. So I hope as a result of our conversation, particularly the younger generation whom you're addressing, for peace, the key word, don't talk about tolerance. Talk about peaceful coexistence. Talk about peaceful cooperation based on love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself. Self-love is very important. But also love your neighbor on an equal standing. I think it's very interesting that the interview is taking place on the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're observing this week. Are you familiar with the Feast of Tabernacles?
I am not, no.
Okay. So the idea is you leave your abode, your home, could be a palace, and you move into a sukkah, a tabernacle that is not solidly built. It was during the biblical wanderings for 40 years. It was a like a hut, a shelter. Mm-hmm. And also it teaches us the fragility and the vulnerability of life. It's also in gratitude for harvest time, agricultural festival, or planting the seeds that finally were harvested. So my hope that the younger generation, planting the seeds for the love of peace, that we together we will see the blessing is, oh God, spread the canopy of peace over the world. Spread the canopy of peace over the world. But for that to happen, God needs our help. Each one of us must contribute. toward that end. That is really a wonderful goal and objective for the younger generation. And I offer the Appeal of Conscience Foundation cooperation. Let us work together, because it's education, education, education. You cannot. I stood in Srebrenica when I saw 7,500 remains identified. Only non-Muslim speaker.
Yes.
And I must tell you, you cannot repair the past. You can learn from the past, but you cannot recapture yesterday. You cannot recapture an hour before now we're talking about. But what we can do, work to build a brighter future for all humanity.
Let's hope many people hear this message and act accordingly.
Thank you.
Thank
and,
you too.
I hope when I'm in Switzerland next, I'll have the pleasure of a personal contact.
Yes, that would be very nice. Again, thank you very much and good luck with all your future projects.
Okay. Alles Gute.
Alles Gute, Rabbi Schneier. Vielen Dank.